What is going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Greg. How are you, bud?
Fantastic. Shyam, good morning.
Hello, Greg.
I believe if technology allows, we can head to the anything goes state. Florida, not like the rest of us, where Coach Wiggins is hanging out and ready to, on a Patriots game day, ready to participate in some sort of autograph signing this evening at a casino. Wiggy, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, look at that. There he is.
I am in M-I-A-Yo.
You're in Miami.
Miami.
Yes. Okay.
Welcome to Miami.
And you made it over there this morning. Are you at, where are you?
Look, I am here in Little Haiti at the Citadel. Shout out to my man Dan, who's helping me out here. Running the board and everything. So that's where I am. I'm in Little Haiti.
I got to tell you.
Sa poisse to all my Haitian brothers and sisters out there.
Welcome to Miami.
I noticed that you have been able to get the camera up and going. And so you can, if you tune in this morning on Twitch or YouTube, you'll be able to see Wiggy. And in the Twitch chat earlier, somebody suggested that watching you try to get that set up was like a FaceTime with their 75-year-old grandmother. But I'm glad that you got it going and you're ready to go down there.
Very simple. You just hit the play button. It ain't that hard. Right.
And you and the missus are there together.
Yeah, so we had a good night last night. Oh. And Greg, you are right. Florida is the anything goes state.
Yes.
I've never seen so many people indoors vaping.
Well,
that's the most benign thing you'll see down there.
I was going to say, if that's the worst thing you see, then you're probably lucky, Wiggy, I would say. Now, what is this? What is the signing thing? Did you win a contest? Or why are you in Florida signing autographs?
I don't know if you know this. I played for both the Patriots and the Jets,
I
won a Super Bowl. So, you know what? I have a pretty good fan base all over. So I brought the 8x10s with me.
I see. So, and this is at the Hard Rock Casino?
Yeah, at the Hard Rock Casino, which is really a beautiful place, man. They got giant lit-up guitar, so it's casinos, nice little vibe. It's a beautiful place down here. And the weather, man, you can't beat it.
I see. Any other legendary New England Patriots or Jets players who are there with you? Or
no, I haven't seen anybody.
I saw the billboard. It's Ernie Adams' nephew is also going to be signing.
I'm hoping that Patrick Pass wasn't scheduled to be there. He will be unavailable until his trial is adjudicated.
Damn, what happened with that? I was just with him the other day at Matt Light's event.
I'm on the airplane.
I land in Miami. Next thing I know, I'm like an 82-year-old man. It's got to be something more to this story. Please fill me in.
Yeah, it's some sort of a – we'll get to it during the news at 7:45, but he had some sort of an unfortunate incident with an 82-year-old man at the gym.
He picked things up and threw some down.
We should title that type of story Greg in the future. Like, I feel that is a fate that will happen to me at some point.
Oh, what are you talking about? When you hit 80, you're going to be 10 miles from any gym.
No, Curtis, I will stick with my rigorous workout routine all the way into my 80s. Are you kidding me?
That's the way to do it.
I will say, if he was trying to interrupt his reps, I mean, anything goes.
Well, there apparently is an unexploded ordinance that is hanging around this radio show. I don't know if we're going to talk about that.
Oh, we're going to talk about it.
Oh, we are.
We're going to talk about it. I already see the text. I see the Twitch people that lurk in the shadows love to come out when dumb Courtney, who doesn't know anything, then they take my word as Bible. It's unbelievable.
Is that the Courtney bomb?
The Courtney bomb. I can get to it now, or I was going to do it for my lead.
Unfortunately, it didn't land like a Hezbollah pager yesterday, unfortunately.
I was going to do it as my lead, but whatever you want.
Okay.
I have a lot to say.
You have a lot? Oh, I love
sure
when
do.
You have a lot to say.
I have a lot to say.
All right, so you want to get to it in your lead in 10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah, I was going to do it as my lead.
Can I get one thing not related to what Courtney's going to say just about that? My favorite thing ever, at the conclusion of our show, all the people that feigned outrage about Courtney's scoop pointing to a guy named Rob Reinhart saying, ha ha, Curtis, you got quiet. Ooh, Curtis, you got duped. Oh, look at this. Courtney was stealing from this guy. All of those people were duped.
Yeah.
They believed a fake tweet. If you went down that guy's timeline for 3 seconds, you saw that Jaron Duran, according to him, was AI generated. You saw that Mitch Marner was going to the Utah hockey team.
And then it's like Nightlight, can't follow along on Twitch. And
right.
He's like, so Courtney's, the person that whispered to Courtney was this guy, and he's actually false and she won't take accountability. Nope. Person I talked to in person is somebody I know and trust.
Okay. And I, my favorite thing about James's new school is somehow in the entire directory, my cell phone, email, and everything got posted.
What?
So I have these like random people now just emailing me.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so the school put out the parental directory and
right.
They gave all your information
yes,
out in it.
I was. Anyway, so this person, I won't give his name, sent me the screenshot yesterday morning of the Rob Reinhart tweet. And I said, take a look at his tweets, total nonsense. And then he replies, Courtney's got splaining to do. Dude, you sent me a fake tweet. You have explaining to do.
Greg, I was hoping your boy Sweeney said something yesterday and dropped a Greg Hill show.
I know.
He was all over the spit and chicklets.
The man is an everyday listener, and he refuses to not only come on the show, but at least give us some kind of a name drop during the press conference. Thanks for nothing, Don.
Yep.
But anyway, okay, so you have a lot of explaining to do, a lot to say.
I have a lot to say.
In your lead, we will get to that.
Yep.
Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have been burned a time or two by a bad source. I had the real estate news story of the century, Curtis, a few years ago, and unfortunate sourcing on it led to a lot of backlash. So
yeah, well, all the people that were lecturing you in this building are no longer here, so I think you won.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
And like already this morning, Keith Pete, in the real world, she would be fired immediately. Thank God it's radio. What real world are you living in?
Right, lucky we are in radio and it's not the real world.
Yeah. No, I hate to break it to him, but it's not. But thank you for watching the show on Twitch, and good morning and hello. And you can do that every day. You can watch the show on YouTube as well. And we got a lot to get to on a game day for the New England Patriots. Kickoff at 8:15 this evening. We will get to our leads, including some hot cocoa coming up in about 15 minutes at 6:25. And then we'll be joined at 6:45 by Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College. I don't necessarily understand, Wiggy, why they popped out of the top 25. I know it was a loss, but it was close. And it was against the number 6 team. I mean, I don't know. Did you feel like they should have been bumped right out?
Well, I mean, I think when you're that low, I think what were they, 24 or 25 when they were ranked?
Yeah,
if
they were 24, I think.
24, right? So you bounce out, you lose to a good team, and yeah, they're obviously going to knock you up. But this is another great test for Courtney and Curtis's BC Eagles, because Michigan's 3-0. If they can beat Michigan, a Big Ten team,
yeah,
I think that'll put them right back up in the top 25. It's really now about just being one of those top two teams in the ACC. Ain't that right, Courtney?
Yep, it sure is.
And also, I think BC was somewhat hurt by their big win coming against Florida State, and Florida State losing again to, I don't know, who was it, Memphis? I don't know, some awful team.
Memphis, yeah. They lost to Memphis.
So that probably
Florida State sucks. I'm down here in Florida. Florida State sucks. Miami, I'm going to see if I can go to Brady's house and get some scoops on whether or not he's going to come out of retirement.
You should show up at Tom Brady's house.
I'm going to try.
And see if he lets you in the gate, Wiggy.
I should try that. He's got to live around here. I don't think it's that far.
Yeah, Star
Island?
I don't know if it's Star Island or if it's one of those billionaire.
Oh, Indian Creek, they was, my man Dan said.
Yeah, there's a beautiful golf course there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those billionaire islands.
All right.
So, yeah, you should go over there.
I'm just go over there and knock on doors and see who lets me in.
Now that would be a place to trick or treat.
Miami's Dolphins owner.
And by the way, if you ever wanted to understand how much people hate Tom Brady, he has a decent broadcast and then nobody talks about it again.
Yeah.
Did you watch most of it, Curtis?
No, I didn't see any of it because it was against the Patriots in the whatever the hell they played on the Seahawks game. So,
yeah.
But I think it'll be fine. But this, I honestly, I think tonight is a swing game. and they don't have the Patriots don't have to like win and you know have a big day. This is a potential for a moral victory, but if they look ugly, if the defense is you know carved up by Aaron Rodgers and Jacoby Brissett struggles, I have a feeling it could get ugly quick tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the season, but I do think it's a winnable game for the New England Patriots. So you end up, if you can steal this one, then you're 2-1 and looking pretty good, and you got a little bit of time off as well.
If Will Levis isn't a moron in the red zone, you know, the Jets lose to the Titans. So I think the Patriots should be better than the Titans. At least I hope they are.
We will talk about that with you all day long. We will get to They Said It at 7. That is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. And we will certainly talk about what Tristan Cassis says he noticed when showering with the fellas that has left him inspired. So
eyes up. Eyes up, Tristan. Eyes up. That's the number one rule in the locker room. You should
shower
know if I'm wearing
homie.
A tuxedo or I'm butt-ass naked.
So we'll get to that a little bit later. And Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45. And a former First Lady of the United States of America is tired of being nude shamed for her art.
Yeah.
And so we'll get to that and the rest of the news a little bit later on this morning's show. But right now, to start us off, it is the journalist on the show, Courtney Cox, and what is trending right now?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. We heard from Don Sweeney yesterday, and he addressed the recent reports surrounding Jeremy Swayman's pending contract. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
I will make everybody aware that some of the inconsistencies that have been reported are completely inaccurate. And I think that being a representative of the Bruins, you know, how we do business and try and keep things close to the vest and respect everybody's own privacy, that I'll answer questions, but I'm not going to go into depth of the negotiation and the talks we had because we're excited about the players that are here and looking to move forward.
Excited about the players that were there. Jeremy Swayman was not.
No. But they'll, Don Sweeney said they'll work hard to get him back by December 1st. They'll see if they get everything worked out by December 1st.
He's confident that they will.
You ready for Juni to start in goal?
Huh?
You ready for Juni Corposalo to start in goal in game one?
I just don't. Listen, Courtney's going to address her Coco Bomb in a little bit. So I'll hold off on that part of it. But I don't understand. They begin skating today. This is training camp. Figure it out. You're the Boston Bruins. I don't believe that the guy is demanding $10 million and not playing unless he gets $10 million. But I don't believe that.
But people are humans, Greg, and I think the arbitration disagreement that we discussed at the time was something that left a mark on a young kid from Alaska who felt disrespected by the people that were otherwise praising him. And that's why they find themselves at this impasse.
Greg, I love this. This is just like this is now I can say when TC calls, NHL players are just like football players when it comes to holding out or holding in or whatever else. Oh,
it's more basketball.
TC to call them divas.
I guess maybe I'm looking at it from the wrong perspective, but it just give the guy $8.5 million, give him 8 years. And you've got a happy goaltender, and you don't have to worry. You don't have to have Jim Montgomery up there yesterday hemming and hawing and saying they're confident in the goaltending, whether Swayman is there or not. Like, the whole thing goes away.
Yeah.
When I argue about this with people, other puckheads, Curtis, they tell me, well, Jeremy Swayman hasn't played a full season yet. That's the Bruins' intent, not his intent. The kid's been a hockey player his entire life. He can play an entire season. But anyway, that's just me. I appreciate it. We'll get through it all morning long with you. Yes.
The Red Sox beat the Rays last night, 2-1. Tanner Houck went 4 innings, giving up 1 run on 4 hits while striking out 4. It was nice to see Greg at the bar at Fenway yesterday. A lot of people taking in the game before the concert. Greg and I both at Post Malone last night ran into each other.
Oh, Chime. I'm going to require a lot of Post Malone rejoins this morning. That show was excellent last night.
I can come through with that.
No complaints. A lot of pyro.
Yeah, no notes.
Curtis, I love the pyro. A lot of pyro.
Pyro.
I love a good firework. I love a good open flame, and there was a lot of it last night at Fenway. But the show was great.
Did he play his classics?
He did.
He did, Wiggy. All right.
And there is, if you are a new father of a daughter, go listen to Yours by Post Malone and bring your tissues because you will be sobbing. I texted Greg. I said this would be a very nice song for you and Julia to dance to at her wedding one day.
Yeah, we don't have enough in the budget for music at Julia's wedding.
And Greg, shout out to my boy Johnny Bott. How about him? His first concert in 30 years. He just gets home from doing 27 straight in the feds. And he's FaceTiming with Post Malone.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nicky Verano for hooking that one up, too, huh? How about that one?
That was pretty cool.
Oh, and shout out to Walshy for getting Johnny Bott the seats in the suite. Did you see him, Courtney?
No. I didn't see him. I was just going to thank Walshy for hosting Santo and I. But no, I didn't see Johnny Bott. I wish you had told me he was in the suite. I would have looked for him.
He was in there with y'all.
Oh.
He was the guy who was selling the game consoles out front.
I thought you were going to say it. Never mind.
One more with the
right. Actually, we were at Fenway for the concert. He tried to steal first, second, and third. sorry. I'm just kidding.
I thought he was in center field saying, "Your name is Bill Smith. You live in Sudbury."
The Red Sox have one more with the Rays tonight. 6:50, first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. You can hang out with Coop at 5:50 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. 16 first-time nominees for Pro Football Hall of Fame were among the 167 modern-era nominees announced yesterday. From the Pats, Adam Vinatieri and Aqib Talib were on the list. And BC great Luke Kuechly also getting the nod. 13 former Patriots that were major contributors in New England are among the 167. But Vinatieri and Talib, two of first-time nominees.
Where the hell is Rodney Harrison, man? Why is this guy not in the Hall of Fame? What the hell are we doing here?
Preach.
Agreed.
We have a Pats game tonight, Thursday Night Football. The boys are taking on the Jets in enemy territory. Kickoff is at 8:15. And for your apple pie, apple crumble, apple snacks, and the apple of your eye, apples are now on sale at Shaw's and Star Market. Today through Thursday, get a tote bag of apples, Macintosh, Gala, or Ginger Gold for just 99 cents a pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. Gotta say, day two on the chocolates, feeling very good. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Good morning, Courtney. 62 degrees right now. Cloudy skies. Afternoon high, 72.
Smack dab in the middle of the set last night at Fenway Shine. You got a ton of old stuff last night. I was so worried about that show that it was going to be all the country stuff that Wiggy doesn't like. Wiggy, you would have appreciated Post Malone last night. I can tell you that much.
Okay. I like old school Post Malone.
It was weird. You could tell the fans that were there not to stereotype, but it was mostly the ladies who were in their cowboy hats expecting some kind of a country show, and it really was not a country show.
It was a mix. The difference between Post Malone the last time I saw him when he was here 2 years ago to now is it used to just be him out there singing, and now it's a whole band. So there's much more that goes into the show. That brings a country feel. He also, like, with Circles, he did like a different rendition almost to Circles that was a bit more country.
Yeah.
It was different. I liked it a lot. But no, Wiggy, I think you would have loved it. He's also still the same guy. Like, he's smoking darts the entire time and drinking beers.
Greg, how did he do his features? Like, how did he do that? Did he do, because remember you were asking some of the songs he was featured on?
He did one of the Morgan Wallen collabs, and he did it himself.
Yeah.
He didn't sing to a track.
He brought out that guy, Ernest.
Yeah, he brought out a couple of guys.
And then Hardy.
He brought out Hardy, and it was, I thought he did it. I liked the show a lot.
I really did.
I really enjoyed it. So, and I think that's it on the concerts. For me, I have a question for you, Greg. Yes,
thank
Curtis.
You, Sam Kennedy. Very good year of concerts.
Yes, okay, yes. Perfect. Wow, Courtney, it's like we practiced this. Yeah. So when the Red Sox say it's a break-even business, do they omit that last night? Because they're printing cash.
Probably, Curtis. You're probably right about that.
So
yeah.
Then it's not a break-even business because Fenway Park is part of the Red Sox, and they're profiting off of owning the Red Sox by utilizing the building the Red Sox play in to have concerts.
I mean, the place was full, as it was full two nights this week for Pearl Jam. So
were people jacked when Trevor Story hit that bomb? Did they interrupt the concert?
They did not interrupt the... Now, when you say... Trevor Story and bomb. Is that something you saw in the shower, or is that just Tristan Cass's?
Avert the eyes.
Okay. We will get to what Tristan Cass's saw in the shower with the fellas during They Said It at 7. That is a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. It's game day for the Patriots, and we'll talk about that all morning long with you. We are also going to be joined by Bill O'Brien at 6:45, so in about 15 minutes. My guess is that we may not get to all of the leads now, so we may have some leads after Bill O'Brien. Just a heads up on that. But let's start. Let's get to it right now.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Yeah, Miami, South Beach, bringing the heat, Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that?
Sean, I'm going to keep that artist name out my mouth, but our guy, Jermaine Wiggins, being flown all over the globe for autograph signings. Who knew?
I love it.
Who knew how valuable the autograph was?
Keep it up. It's coming.
I got to find his rate card.
Wiggy's in Florida and doing a big event tonight at the Hard Rock Casino. Is that in Seminole, Florida? Is that where that is, Wiggy?
I think it's technically Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. It's the Seminole Tribe, I think.
Yes,
in Hollywood, Florida. I've been to that casino. It's a great casino.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah. There's a lot of, like, you know, obviously all the musicians stuff that's in there is pretty cool. So
really cool.
Yeah.
And so how does the event go tonight? What do you do? Like, do you sign first?
It's a private event for, you know, a handful of lucky people. That will come in. Will be Q&As. I'll tell some stories about my time playing with the Jets and the Patriots.
Did they ask you to name to wear a name tag that said Willie McGinnis?
I'll tell some stories about my boy Willie Mack. But people love the. I got the Super Bowl ring, so we're shining on them.
What's the weather like?
Oh, it's beautiful, Greg. It's in the mid to upper 80s. Mm. That's the only thing I would recommend to Curtis now that he's, you know, he's our resident weather personality.
Yes.
Is down here, especially the women weather people. Like, so if you keep seeing me look up, the women weather people and the guys, very easy on the eyes.
Wow, Wiggy, growth.
So it's like when a hurricane's coming, you kind of like, whatever.
I will remind you that you are a married man, sir.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not wrong with, you know, giving somebody their props and looking.
Interesting you bring that up, Wiggy. There has been an increasing demand for me to do an OnlyFans weather forecast.
You go.
In the nude?
I mean, whatever the high pressure brings.
All right. Well, we're glad that you did the show, are doing the show today and tomorrow from Florida, Wiggy. Right. And Shime, good morning.
Morning, Greg. So yesterday we talked a lot about the idea that the New England Patriots receivers, like for Jalen Polk, for instance, is actually getting separation and that we want the New England Patriots to pass. I would just say I don't necessarily want them to try and increase the passing tonight. Let's wait until next Sunday, just because I don't think you're going to have a lot of success against this Jets defense throwing the football. However, as seen by the last 2 weeks in the NFL, you can absolutely run the football against this Jets defense. I think Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson are primed to have a big day. keep Jacoby Brissett, making sure he doesn't turn the football over. You don't need to start passing quite yet. But then in week four, really try and open up the passing game a little bit. I think tonight is going to be a massive run night. You can run it right down the Jets' throats. Control the clock and win this football game.
Did the Gibson performance on Sunday catch you off guard a little bit?
Very much so. And
yeah,
I think
same.
The numbers were a little skewed just because he had that one big run. But at the same time, like, he looked good. He has a little bit of juice. He's very similar style-wise to what Ramondre does.
Yeah.
Ramondre seems to have a little bit more power, but I like Gibson a lot. He's a good change of pace. He'll allow Ramondre to not have to carry the ball 30 times in a game. And so I think the duo of the two of them is really good.
The issue for me is, and it was as soon as Jerod Mayo said it on our show, which, you know, if you remember, he said, we're going to be a run team, we're going to run the football, and we're going to dare you to stop us, essentially, is that the issue is that the Jets know you're going to run the football. So
yeah, but they knew the 49ers were going to run the football, too, and they couldn't stop Jordan Mason at all. I mean, the guy ran for 174 yards, an undrafted free agent. So, like, you can run on this Jets defense. I just don't think they have the manpower to stop you. They want to try and stop you, but they can't.
Okay. Curtis, thank you, Sean. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. So a really interesting feature at ESPN today on the under-the-radar insurance policies utilized by owners across the NFL, the benefits of cap space, and the idiocy of the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers was acquired from the Packers by the Jets. While in Green Bay, the Packers had an insurance policy that cost between $1 and $4 million a year to insure his guaranteed salary against injury on the football field.
Hmm.
The Jets decided against paying $1 to $4 million because they are cheap. And they had to pay all $37 million. And you know what? When you're the heir to the Johnson & Johnson throne, who gives an F, right? Well, when it comes to the NFL, they would have gotten back 22 of the $37 million, meaning they would have gotten $18 million off their $4 million investment. And that money is utilized the next year as free cap space because it's viewed the same way as cash, which unnamed executives speak throughout this story about the under-the-radar understanding of both insuring guaranteed contracts and how guaranteed contracts are the only way, the only loophole in a closed cap system that creates space out of thin air. Cash means you don't have to be against the cap, which is why the 49ers are where they are with the most cap space and one of the most talented rosters in football. If you insure, I'm sure they insured the Christian McCaffrey deal. You spend between $1 and $4 million, and whatever you get back in money that you pocket also frees up space the next year. So the owners that talk to you about how tough the cap is, Robert Kraft, are lying to you. You can get around it if you just spend money.
You want to sign a guy like Brandon Ayuk, then you can guarantee an S ton of that money and just insure it, is what you're saying, Curtis.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I don't understand. I mean, I do understand because it's cash, but anybody that says you're at a competitive disadvantage by spending money on great players is lying to you.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
By the way, just normally the texters, others, they don't bother me. These people texting in going, you're protecting Courtney. There's no accountability. Listen to the radio, you donkey. You jackass. She's about to speak right now.
Yeah. The vitriol from yesterday was shocking. But I came on this radio station yesterday, and I said that I was whispered to on Tuesday night, which did happen. I was at an event on Tuesday night. I was with somebody I know, somebody that I trust, somebody that I know the connection to the situation we were talking about. And I was told that a deal was done. Waiting on the announcement. I was actually told, keep your phone on loud throughout the event because the news would break Tuesday night. When it didn't break Tuesday, I said, all right, going to happen during Don Sweeney's press conference, I believe. Don Sweeney comes out, says there's a lot of inaccuracies. He brings up the 8 years, $8.5 million, something I did not say. Right. Other people that were whispered to on the interweb said. He brings up spit and chiclets, which we reported on, saying that Don Sweeney didn't return Swayman's calls for 3 weeks. That Swayman, you know, wanted the $10 million. They were offering 6.5, 6.2, whatever. Yep. And he called them out by name. I then open my social media and I am getting ripped. People are pissed that I said that I was told that a deal was done. Now, if that's not the case and Don Sweeney got up there yesterday and said so, then that source I no longer will use. This is the first time I've used this source. I didn't run to social media to be the first to post about it. I actually just texted the people in this room and in Miami with Wiggy. But, like, it's a swing and a miss, apparently. If this person was wrong, this person was wrong. I still know the source. I still know the connection to Swayman.
It's a close connection?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a close connection. I was told a few things about this upcoming season, and I still believe that this is not over. Like, this is, they are going to get a deal done from things that that this person told me.
Did you hear from the source that may have burned you yesterday?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Did not hear from that person yesterday.
So the source is like ghosting you now? Or just
not
ghosting
I didn't
you?
Reach out to them. They didn't reach out to me.
Okay.
I feel like people thought, and Greg was super nice, called me because he saw Twitter.
But I thought you were going into one of your famous tailspins.
No, and what there, I told I you, there. I had just woken up from a massage. Okay. I was A-okay yesterday. If you guys are going to get that heated about me saying that a deal's done, a very positive scoop, actually. And I was the only one, really, with a positive scoop in this entire thing. And then I saw the whole narrative that, well, you're going to take credit if it's right. So here's, you got to take the blame when it's wrong. I was not going to take credit. I was told something, and I told you that that person told me. If you want to throw insults, sling things at me, that's fine. If that's how you want to get out your anger for Swayman not getting a deal done yet and not skating yesterday, that's fine. I'll take it. This was nothing against.
413 texter wants you to stop pretending to be a reporter. Are you pretending to be a reporter?
I don't think I'm pretending to be a reporter.
Has anybody on the show ever pretended to be a reporter?
No.
Definitely not. We work at a newspaper.
No.
Not at all.
And then for the people that are like, this is just as bad as Ben Volen, that's fine. You feel that way. Ben Volen was DM'd something and didn't check who that person was. Again, I know this person.
Courtney, you gonna listen to this person if they give you another scoop?
No. Like, that's it for me.
And ironically. Okay.
And I actually, can I just say one more thing, Curtis? I actually know that other people in media have used this source.
Ooh.
So,
wow.
I will not be using this source anymore.
Was it Dan Shaughnessy?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
It was not.
That's shocking because he strikes me as a big loco guy. I would just say the irony of the people comparing Courtney to Ben Volen being the same people who were telling me that Rob Reinfart was an actual reporter. No, that's Ben Volen using a fake Twitter account as a means to get a story, because that's what he did. So you actually are Ben Volen, if you want to follow along.
It did occur to me, Curtis, while watching the Twitter verse, and there's no worse feeling. We've all felt it when you open Twitter and it says 20-plus notifications.
Never happened to me.
It's literally the worst. But when you're going through that, I'm clicking on these profiles. I'm like, damn, they're not coming at Spittin' Chiclets.
Right.
They're not coming at
That's because Sweeney went at Spittin' Chiclets.
Well, I know, but
that's because girls don't talk to them, so they get mad at Courtney.
Yeah, and that's fine. Again, that's fine. If you want to be.
Also, Shannon Sharp had that same feeling once when opening Twitter up.
And Instagram. If you want to be mad at me, that's fine. I won't be using this source anymore, but go back to watching Netflix, go back to TikTok.
Courtney,
yeah, I will.
You know what that means? Another random bathtub boob slip. Get people's mind off of the sourcing of Swayman.
You know what, Wiggy? I will be honest with you. I did post a story from my massage yesterday in the middle of all the hatred, and I gave a little bit of boob.
You did?
Oh. Yeah. Wow. On purpose. On purpose.
How did we miss that?
It's still up.
Were those her two sources?
Nope. The two sources were very good. And I stick by that. Like, I didn't make it up. If you think that I'm sitting around making stuff up, I'm told a decent amount throughout the seasons, and I go with something that I feel like is credible.
The only cocoa bomb I want is the one in your bathtub.
I will say, cowardly of Woj retiring yesterday after my second bomb. I mean, he knew I was hot in his tail. Yes,
you still got that one. I would hang your hat on that that cocoa bomb.
Well, I hope Sam Kennedy joins us soon because I would love to ask him about it.
Yeah, Sam Kennedy has yet to be on the show.
Yeah.
In fact, today it's going to be Craig Breslow again. I don't know why Sam Kennedy's not on the show, but
Pretty big story.
It's been a while. All right, so we'll continue to talk about this. I think you said to me in our meeting this morning, bring it.
Yeah, please. If you want to call instead of using, you know, a fake profile photo or a Twitch name, that's fine. I'm taking the criticism. Swing and a miss.
Stand on business, Courtney.
Yep.
That's what the kids say down here in Miami. Stand on business.
It must be nice to be right all the time, though.
All right. We are Wiggy's in Florida. We are going to be, Wiggy, we'll get to your lead and my lead after 7.
Okay.
Because we are going to be joined by Bill O'Brien of Boston College Football next. Joining us now, it is the head coach of Boston College Football, Bill O'Brien. Talk a little college football. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Greg. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Wiggy is in Florida for an autograph signing, and I'm using that in the singular.
Come on, Wiggy.
We believe there may be one person that is looking for the autograph. So,
all it takes is one. If you need me to run by the Hurricanes facility and get you some film or some hand signals, yes. I could do that.
Yes. Connor Wiggy.
Yes. Now, I never crush anybody on autographs. I have the worst autograph in the history of autographs, so I don't get into that with anybody. But Wiggy, you'll have more than one asking for your autograph. I guarantee it.
Kind of interesting how autographs changed through the years. Like the Tom Brady autograph changed a lot through the years.
Oh yeah, TB12 now, right? Is that right? Am I right about that?
Yes.
You can barely read his autograph now. Before, I have his autograph when he first started. It was nice. You could see the number. Now you can't see a number. Anything. It's like, is this thing even real?
I remember when I was at the Patriots, like. Some coaches would like lay out stuff at Christmas time to like have different players autograph. I never did that because I never wanted to be coaching a guy that I was asking an autograph for.
There was a crazy story about Brady in Tampa that they had a vacant locker right next to him where everybody in the building would leave things for their family members for him to sign. And he would just do it over time.
Yeah. I was not looking for his autograph. I was just trying to gain first downs and touchdowns.
Do you stay in touch with him? Do you hear from him ever during the season? Or
mostly text, Greg. Yeah, mostly text. Just you know, checking in. I saw him at the, I went to the roast. I saw him at the retirement stuff like that. But no, just mostly text. He's a busy guy. A lot of us are busy guys, you know.
Bill, moving on to BC football, the loss against Mizzou, you guys held in there till the end. But looking at Castellanos and that turnover, how have you felt that mentally he's been able to recover? And do you think that he'll be good to go come this week?
Yeah, he had a really good practice yesterday. You know, we've got to do a better job of, you know, taking care of the ball. I mean, look, there's some interceptions that are going to happen if, a batted ball or bounces off somebody's shoulder pad. But, you know, when you force the ball into tight coverage or the wrong coverage, you know, those are the things that we've got to stop doing. And if we do that, then, you know, we'll win games because it comes down to, like, I try to explain to these guys a lot because of my experience. I really have learned over the years that it comes down to about 8 to 10 plays, right? And if you execute on those plays and the other team doesn't, then you're going to win and vice versa. So, you know, we got to really take care of the ball better.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Oh, no, it's Wiggy.
Oh, sorry.
Bill, I was just going to say, I know there's really no moral victories in football when you're a player or a coach, but I remember back in 2001 when we lost to the Rams, we kind of knew, like, okay, we could play with the best team in the league. Do you take anything away from saying we were able to go punch for punch with a team like Missouri that a lot of people expect to be right there in the mix? Do you kind of use that and say, hey, like this, we can play with the big guys and we can make a legitimate run on the playoffs because we've shown that we can go punch for punch with some of the best teams in the SEC?
I mean, I think that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, that's what our guys have to understand. And you know, again, going to Missouri, Missouri's a really good team. They've got a lot of good skill players. They're well coached. You know, their coach has been there for, this is his fifth year. He's got a good program going. And to go down there and, you know, hang in there with them, you know, and have a chance to win it at the end, even turning the ball over the way we did, you know, that's got to show these guys something. Now, the issue is, you know, we got to fix those things, because if every game's going to be tough, Wig, right? This Michigan State team is 3-0. They're very good. They're very tough, very physical, very well coached. The guy they hired, Jonathan Smith from Oregon State, he's a really good coach. And so they've got a well-coached team. We've got to show up and play cleaner football, because that's going to be our formula for winning. And so, you know, we got to get back to doing that. We did that in the first two games, didn't do it as well in the third game. We got to get back to doing that.
Bill, we learned recently on this show that Wiggy was set to make $100,000 coaching Brockton High School. Are you making that much at BC?
When Wig got that job, I wasn't talking to Wig last year, but like, I was so happy about Wig getting that job, because Brockton football, being from Massachusetts, you know, there's such a massive tradition. I'm actually friends with Tommy Colombo and some of the guys that have played there over the years. And so I don't know what happened there, but man, Wig, that was a great choice by them. I wish he was still there.
He needed an offensive coordinator. That's what.
Well, you know, it growing pains. But they got Bill. They got a great receiver down there. Take a look at him, Jaden Lopes Ribeiro. Okay. Great receiver,
okay, Jaden Lopes. Yeah. All right. And then for a short period of time, I was available. So if he was still there, I would have probably thought about that. Bro.
Well, there is a limitless budget in Brockton. I don't know if you've looked into it. They have plenty of cash down there.
Well, they still owe me $85,000 then. Because they only paid me 15.
Good math.
We talked about it briefly last week, but I'd be remiss not in advance of the Red Bandana game. What this night has become, I have to say, I am not always positive about BC. They make a lot of mistakes. Letting me in was one. But the way in which they have honored and celebrated and sort of incorporated the Red Bandana into student life, beginning as a freshman, there really is no better representative for Boston College in service to others than Wells Crowther.
Yeah, no doubt. You just said it really well, Curtis. I would say this morning we're going to show the Ed Burns narrated ESPN film to our team, you know, because a lot of guys, you know, we have a lot of younger players on our team that don't know as much about it. And I was really fortunate and honored to be able to Zoom with Allison Crowther about a month and a half ago, and really hear the story and the daily struggles that she goes through. But, you know, you think about what Wells did, right? He rescued people, and he could have walked out and made it, but he went back up. He went back up to rescue more people. And I think that's really what it's all about. And we have to understand how important, you know, this game is to the BC community, to people. We have to go out there and play well in honor of Wells. I think that's a big deal, and you're right. BC does a great job.
At the man in the red bandana is what it's called. Courtney recommended this year that you watch it every year, and watched it again. It is so, his story is so moving, and it's such a story of personal sacrifice for others. And you know, I don't know about you, but I when I watch something like that, I'm always like, I wonder if I would have the courage that he had. Yeah. You know, and so it's an amazing story, and it is, I'm certain, going to be an amazing night on Saturday. So,
yeah, I think about that a lot too. It's a great point you make, Greg, because we actually had talked about that with Bears yesterday. Like, you know, like I said, like, he went back up. You know, he let him down, and then he said, "I'm going back up to try to help more people." I don't know. You know, it's just hard to say, if put in that position, would you do the same thing? That's an incredible part of the story.
Can you ask Bears if he's pissed that Matt Patricia has his job now? Like, I see Matt. I see Matt Patricia following Bill around down for Monday Night Football. And yeah. I feel like Matt Patricia took his job.
I am not touching that. That is not what I'm going to touch right now. Yeah.
Well, you know,
they're both offensive coordinators, so.
Yeah, but Matt Patricia, you can say something to him and he doesn't get offended, because there's not much offense in there, Curtis.
Hey!
Yes, go ahead,
Bill. Bill, when you look at Michigan State ahead of you, 3-0, physicality—that's what their team is talking about right now. When it comes to your guys, it's going to be a physical game, both sides of the football. For you, how big of a test will this be in front of a home crowd?
Big test. I mean, it's a Big Ten team. you know, having experience in the Big Ten when I was at Penn State, I know what that you know, that type of football is all about. And they do. They play a very physical brand on offense. They run the ball, and then that sets up play action. They take shots down the field. And then defensively, it's pretty amazing to watch their film because they really do get 11 guys to the ball on most plays. They swarm the ball. And we've got to match that intensity and then some. And I think that's a big challenge for our guys. I think our guys have had a really good week of practice. They understand the importance of the game. I've said this all along. I love coaching this team. They show up every day, and you know I'm looking forward to the game. But yes, it's going to be you know, kind of one of those knockdown, drag out type of games. No doubt about it.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and I'm just curious your opinion as a head coach in college football. Shador Sanders would not shake hands post game because of some trash talk that happened beforehand. How do you feel about that? When just in general, that doesn't have to be specifically the player, but when your guys, you want them shaking hands afterwards?
Man, we could be here all day on this stuff. I mean, I just think that, you know, the whole social media and, you know, everything that's out there now, and these kids are always like scrolling on their phones and, you know, at the end of the day, it's about going out there and being a really good teammate, playing as hard as you can for your team, playing at as high a level as you possibly can, which helps the team be good. And then at the end, you shake hands with the guy you played against. I mean, you know, there's always going to be, with social media now, there's always going to be some back and forth and things like that. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But at the end, you have respect for the guy that you played against and, you know, just shake his hand. I don't understand all the, I don't understand all the yes talking, to be honest with you. I do get it a little bit. It's an emotional game, but like, man, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's really not what it's all about. It's about the competition, and it's a very, I just love the sport because of it's a violent sport. It's a physical sport. You lay it all out there. There's no sport like it. And at the end, you got to respect your opponent, you know, and vice versa. So that's just how I feel about it.
I love that answer, and that's why we love having you on. All right, well, go get them. Last one for me. Have you tried the meatball in a cup yet over there at BC?
I saw that sign. I haven't tried that. I gotta get. I love meatballs. So I gotta try that. I never heard that they had that here. But I'll probably try to get one tonight.
All right. Yeah, maybe get one. Send Bears over to get one Saturday mid game, and then
no, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't
do that for me.
Okay. All right.
He's not in charge of my diet.
All right, Bill O'Brien. As always, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week. Go get him on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Bill O'Brien, head coach, Boston College football. On this show every Thursday, we are back with Wiggy's lead and my lead. My lead is that science has started to warn men about something that we do, all of us, first thing in the morning when we wake up, probably in the middle of the night, the older you get, and the danger that is now associated with the way we do it. We are going to have to change our entire lives. So we'll get to that coming up next.